Last night's strike in Syria came at a pivotal time. The US Senate is moving forward with a plan to limit the military's ability to go to war in the region. A bill with bipartisan support would repeal the legal framework that authorized the 2003 US-led invasion of Iraq. It's also known as an AUMF. NPR political correspondent Susan Davis has been following that story and joins us now. Sue, welcome.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So this week marks 20 years since the war in Iraq first began, but US combat operations ended there in 2011. So what's the point of Congress taking this action now?
Well, this is really a long time coming. Senator Tim Kaine, he's a Democrat from Virginia. He's been working on this issue for years with Todd Young. He's a Republican senator from Indiana. So it's quite bipartisan. But what Kaine has said is that during the Obama administration, there wasn't much interest in repealing the AUMF. And during the Trump administration, there was outright opposition to it. President Biden has indicated that he supports this effort, that he would sign it if it reaches his desk, and you have a Democratic majority willing to bring it to the floor with a supermajority of support. It's going to pass. So basically, the political stars just weren't aligned to get this done until more than a decade after combat operations ended.
So the Senate is poised to vote next week on these repeals, but I understand there was another war authorization issued in 2001, right after 9/11, the terrorist attacks there. But that one's not included here. Why?
Well, that's a much more complicated question, because that is the legal justification for basically every counterterrorism operation around the globe in countries like Syria and many others, Afghanistan, other places, since the 9/11 attacks. Now, there has been part of the debate in the Senate about what to do about that 2001 AUMF, but both efforts were resoundingly rejected by the Senate. Rand Paul, a Republican from Kentucky, tried to introduce an amendment that would have sunset that AUMF within 6 months to give Congress time to rewrite it or let it expire. That was overwhelmingly rejected. Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, introduced an amendment to make all AUMFs sunset every 2 years, so every new Congress would be forced to confront this decision about war-making authority. That was also resoundingly rejected. So what that tells me is that the Congress is simply not ready to claw back that power that they have been quite comfortable with at least four presidents using to conduct these counterterrorism operations around the world. Now, I should also note that within this legislation, it also repeals the 1991 AUMF that was used to justify the Gulf War under former President George H.W. Bush. These Iraq War AUMFs are far less controversial and much more symbolic than trying to get at that authorization that still provides the legal justification for presidents to use.
So back in 91 and 2002, they both had huge bipartisan support in Congress backing military action. So now as the Senate is going to repeal this military authorization, it looks likely to do that. Why such a strong reverse?
Well, I think for most lawmakers, they say the time has come. Again, Tim Kaine noted that Iraq is now a political ally and a strategic ally of the U.S. This is part of a broader philosophical debate in Congress that they have over the decades sort of slowly allowed their constitutional war powers to be granted more increasingly towards the president and the executive branch. And there's a lot of members, from liberals to conservatives, who think that Congress should reassert its role here, that they should be willing to take these votes on when to start and end wars, especially when you consider the cost of what 20 years of post 9/11 wars have cost this country. You know, there are some estimates by Brown University and others that the all-in war costs have cost something like $8 trillion. Mm. So I think that weighs on a lot of lawmakers, and I feel like they think it's time to sort of make a statement here.
Yet this is expected to pass the Senate, but it's expected to hit more road bumps in the House, particularly on the Republican side of the aisle. Why?
Well, it's interesting because the House has already approved a similar measure to this back in 2021, but that was when Democrats controlled the House. So we know it has bipartisan support there, but the question is, will Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy let it come up for a vote? Because it does expose more divisions within Republicans than Democrats, and he might be hesitant to do that, but he hasn't ruled it out. He was asked whether he would bring it to the floor, and he said it's something they're looking at, and it is something that they could do in this Congress.
And Sue, we were reminded last night that the United States still has deep military interests in the Middle East. Are there authorizations that remain in place that allows the president to continue the kinds of, say, military strikes or military operations that we saw last night?
Well, I think that that is largely justified by the 2001 AUMF. I do think that there is a general view from Capitol Hill that any sustained military action in any one country around the world would require a standalone AUMF. But things like drone strikes or targeted bombings are largely protected by that 20-year-old law.
That's NPR political correspondent Susan Davis. Thank you, Sue.
You're welcome.